Today's reading is from Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the doors of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if you have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them while under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in their years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a son now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, No. But you did laugh. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them and set them on their way. The Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him? For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Lord God, be with us in these next few moments. May your spirit speak a fresh word to us this morning. May it inspire our hearts. May it enlighten our hearts that as we go from this place to serve you this day and every day, that we'd be strengthened by you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So I've got to say, it is good to be with you all this morning. If you can believe it, this is my first time preaching here in the last 3 weeks, which is crazy. And I'd apologize for that, but I know that you've gotten to hear some incredible messages from some of our partners in ministry here. Now, you may be thinking, say like, man, wow, I didn't realize that. Pastor Gabe hasn't preached here in 3 weeks, and that may have struck terror in your heart. Because you may have thought, man, if he hasn't been here for 3 weeks, he's prone to going long anyways. But after 3 weeks of not preaching here, this is going to be a doozy. We're going to settle in. If that's you, fear not. Today is going to be relatively short. And that's for two reasons. One is I spent all of last week speaking. I gave 5 45-minute talks, 2 sermons, 5 devotionals, and had 3 baptisms. And so for once in my life, I might actually be talked out. We will see. We'll see. But the second reason I won't be speaking too long today is that today is Sending Sunday, which means we've just got a brief gathering here, and then we got to get out and we got to get to work. And so with that said, lest I hold us up any longer, let's get into it. I have got 1 point today. That's it, not 3, just 1. And here it is. Humble service opens our eyes to the presence and the promise of God. Humble service opens our eyes to the presence and the promise of God. And so we've been in this series on the life of Abraham, and we've seen that Abraham has been called by God to leave behind everything he knows and trust in the promises of God. And as Abraham has done that, as he's followed after God, he's had moments of fear where he ignored God's promises. But then he's had moments of friendship where God's provided people in his life to strengthen him on his journey. He's had moments of honesty where he's opened up his heart before God and just been very real with God and was met by God's promises and his grace. And then last week, Pastor Ryan was here and we saw that Abraham was given a new identity, that he was no longer called Abram, but was marked and set apart by God and called Abraham. And what's the first thing that Abraham does once he receives this new identity? What's the first thing Abraham does when he receives this new identity from God? What we see in our text, the first thing he does is he humbly serves. He humbly serves. Look with me at the first few verses in our text. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. Now, this text is fairly interesting to me. If you click back to the first part of the passage there, Hannah, thank you. Because the author of Genesis actually leaves it fairly ambiguous as to whether or not Abraham knows that one of the strangers he's serving is God. Like, we don't know whether or not Abraham knows that one of the strangers that's come to his tent is the God of the universe. This is called a theophany, when God appears in human form in the Old Testament. It's called theophany. But what's interesting is the author of Genesis lets us, the reader, know that Abraham's serving God. So we don't know whether or not Abraham knows that he's actually serving God, but he lets us, the reader, know. And this is how he does it, is that first line there, it says, and the Lord appeared to him. The word for Lord there is God's proper name in the Old Testament, Yahweh. And so we know, hey, like, this is God of the universe stuff here. So Yahweh visits him. But then in the next verse, when Abraham addresses him as the Lord, he doesn't call him Yahweh, he calls him Adonai. Which, of course, was oftentimes what people in the Old Testament called God, but it was also what ancient people called their superiors, what they perceived to be someone above them. They would call them Lord, or someone, if he was trying to just show humble service, he would just say Lord. And I point this out because it says, if the author of Genesis wants us to see something, and he wants us to see that for Abraham, whether it's a stranger that shows up at his tent, or if it's the God of the universe, Abraham's response is going to be the same. Radical hospitality and humble service. Why? Because Abraham's been marked by God. And so Abraham knows that every human being is made in the image of God. And therefore, every human being has inherent worth and inherent value. And so as one given an identity by God, Abraham seeks to serve those made in God's image. See, those marked by God, those given a new identity by God, whether it's Abraham in Genesis 17 in the covenant of circumcision, or if it's you on the day that you were baptized into God's family, regardless of when it happens, those given a new identity by God our Father have exactly one response once we've received that identity. And that response is humble service to any and to all. And as we do that, our eyes are opened to the very presence of God. See, Jesus talks about this in Matthew 25. That in Matthew 25, Jesus says, hey, my sheep, the people that are mine, the people that I've given a new identity to, my sheep are going to help people. They're going to help people. It's what they're going to do. They're going to serve people. Those who receive the identity that I give them, they're going to serve people. They're going to help you. And when they do that, they're actually helping and serving me. Jesus says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. See, humble service opens our eyes to the presence of God. And I intentionally used the word humble as an adjective there to describe the type of service we're meant to provide. Because the reality is this, anyone can serve. Like anyone can do that. Anyone can physically do something for someone else. But humility says this act of service is not really about me. It's really about you. Whether I'm recognized for it or whether I feel good about it during it or after it or whether you thank me for it is of zero consequence to me. Because it's not about me. It's about serving you. Author John Dixon puts it like this. Humility is about the redirecting of your powers, whether physical, intellectual, financial, or structural, for the sake of others. Humility is about the redirecting of your powers, whether physical, intellectual, financial, or structural, for the sake of others. See, humble service opens our eyes to the presence of God, but it also opens our eyes to the promises of God. So Abraham and his wife Sarah are humbly serving these guests in their home. And while Abraham is waiting on them and Sarah is cooking for them, this happens, verses 9 and 10. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now check it out, in this text, God speaks and he tells Sarah and Abraham that they're going to have a son in the next year. And so God makes a promise to them that as Abraham and Sarah humbly serve, their eyes are opened to the promise of God. But let me be absolutely clear on this. Their service did not merit them this promise from God. Their service didn't earn them this promise from God. No, God gave that to them way back in the beginning. Right as God called Abraham, he said, "Hey, I'm going to give you descendants. Hey, I'm going to give you heirs." The promise was already given to them purely as an act of grace. They did nothing to earn it. God just gave it to them. However, their eyes were opened to the reality of that promise as they humbly served. And the same is true for you. That through the cross and through the empty tomb and in the waters of holy baptism, Jesus has welcomed you into his kingdom of love and healing and reconciliation. That you're brought into that kingdom. You're given that promise simply as a gift of grace. Simply because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross and in the empty tomb. However, as you humbly serve, your eyes are opened to see glimpses of the promised reality that is God's kingdom. So when I was in Costa Rica a few weeks ago, we were walking around essentially what's a squatter's village about 3 to 4 miles away from the church that we partner with down there. And the squatter's village sort of rose up out of nowhere as a result of Nicaraguan refugees. That as violence has increased in Nicaragua, people have fled south of that border into Costa Rica. And so it's this kind of essentially a refugee village. And so, of course, when the people of God, when the church encounters refugees, just so you know, they move toward them in love. When the church encounters refugees, they move towards them in love. And that's exactly what our partner church down there does. And so we're walking around this essentially refugee village, dropping off food for people and praying with them. And as we were doing that, I noticed this one building, and it was just like packed full of people. And they were just praying, and they were singing and worshiping, and their hands were raised up. And so I was walking with my friend Rocio, who's the pastor's wife of the church we partner with down there. And I said, "Hey, what's going on there?" And she said, "Oh, that's a church that just sort of sprung up in this village." And I said, "Wow, that's really cool. That's really great." And she told me, she's like, "Yeah, you know, it is. It's good. It's good that they do that." She said, "You know, I've had an opportunity, though, to meet with the pastor there." And she said, "I'm a little bit frustrated because I met with the pastor there, and he's told me about how they spend a lot of time fighting the devil." That was her language. "He's just fighting the devil there." And she said, "Like, I mean, that's a good thing to do." She said, "But, like, the only way they seem to fight him is by just hanging out in that building all day, which is fine, I suppose." But then she said this to me. She said, "But I found it to be a lot more effective to fight the devil and the brokenness in our world by actually loving and serving other people." By actually loving and serving other people. And I loved your words there, right? Because, of course, there's a time for prayer and worship. But if we actually want to see the promise of God's kingdom with our own eyes, we've got to get outside these walls and serve and love our neighbors. And so may we do that today. May we do that always in response to the promise and the presence of our Savior Jesus. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your promise. We thank you for your presence. And God, I pray today that as we serve you, we would get a glimpse of your kingdom. A glimpse of your healing rule and reign in this world and in the age to come. God, may it not be about us. We've received everything we need from you. May it be about our neighbors. And may it not just be about today, but may it be about every day. We pray this all in your holy name. Amen.